It's no secret that we are fans of the show Yellowstone. At the end of this podcast, right after the closing jingle, we have an interview that we did this morning with Jimmy Jefferson White. He's the actor that plays Jimmy, easily one of our favorite characters on the entire show. He is going to be on. Stick around for that. It's really cool. He's such a cool dude.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
You know, it's funny, the podcast theme was on, and I wasn't even paying attention. I'm like, I'm just kind of humming along, and I was way off. Like, lyrically, I wasn't even in the ballpark.
How dare you.
I know.
Disgrace.
Happens a lot with you.
Hey. I said, that is a UFO.
I had to do that. Patrick's going to love it. So Big D and I are all about this new UFO. Have you seen it? The airline pilot UFO?
No.
It's a fleet of these things, and it looks like a drone fleet. It's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. It is really interesting. And then they just kind of dip into the clouds. And then some people are going, oh, no, that's not UFOs. That's lights being reflected. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Stop it.
Something is going on. I mean,
of course,
Big D sent, I sent it, and I was like, wow, look at this. Yeah, I mean, there is, if you haven't heard, Congress is working on this new defense bill. I don't know if it's passed or if it's still in the works, but they have funding requests built into this defense bill to replicate any advanced characteristics and performances of UFOs and UAPs.
Well, there you go.
That's built into the bill. That is
that's
basically
proof.
It is kind of confirmation that we have money built in for reverse engineering UFOs.
Yep.
That's what that says. Without saying it, that's what it says.
Let's go to Carson now with the doc. What do you think? No? Okay.
Yes. I said that is a UFO.
All right. Well, that's all I got.
On serious and sad news, Carson is very upset because one of the monkeys died.
Yep.
Who?
Mike Nesmith.
Mike Nesmith.
No, he was one of the last two, right?
Yeah, I just got the call. There's one left. So, yeah.
Are you not thrilled that you went and saw them like a week ago or a month ago or whatever
it was? Yeah, that I got to see them three times in October. That was part of the reason I went, was I knew Mike, there had been some decline in his health. It was very publicly known. And so, I'm glad that I went. I'm glad I saw that. I'm glad that I did all the driving to get there. It's just like, oh, man, 2021 is ripping me between Charlie Watts and Mike Nesmith. This is a rough one, man.
Yeah, man.
And Mr. Big, spoiler. My heart is not ready for any of
this. That's why I'm not getting on my Peloton anymore.
That thing
is. Wait, did he die on the Peloton?
Yes!
Yeah, there's like all this.
Dude, how does Peloton not sue?
Because they gave them permission.
Well, here's the problem. Peloton issued a statement. After it, this is how big it is. Their stock dropped.
Can we start from the beginning so people even know what we're talking about? I mean,
you
just said Mr. Big, and nobody has a clue.
Nobody? Let me tell you, at least half the population knows, Bubba. Women know who Mr. Big is.
Well, we're still leaving out half.
Yeah,
the dudes.
There's three of you in here, so this is the one time we get to shine. So the women, Sex and the City, Mr. Big, and Carrie is the it was it. That was the finally they're together. And
they got married.
We went through the two movies, and the reboot of Sex and the City, and just like that, premiered on HBO Max yesterday.
It's not a reboot. It's a continuation, right?
They're calling it reboot. I don't know what they're calling it. It's awful on so many levels, and the only thing you really had going for it was Mr. Big, and you killed him. He's riding a Peloton and has a heart attack, and Peloton responded with an official statement. Because their shares went down 11%. Their stock dropped over the death of Mr. Big.
They thought they were getting a cameo, like product placement.
One of their instructors was on it because he's watching the instructor and doing the ride. Yeah, they were stoked. We're going to be in the new Sex and the City.
So wait, they didn't know he was going to die?
Doesn't sound like it.
Oh, man. Somebody's getting sued.
I pulled up the
They blamed his fat, basically, right? Or like he had a previous heart attack or something in the show.
He had had heart surgery on the show because Carrie played nursemaid to him. It's a very pivotal episode in their relationship. And so we knew he had heart problems, but he really liked to eat his red meat and he smoked his cigars. And that's what Peloton tried to sell it as. Like, well, he didn't have the healthiest lifestyle. And frankly, maybe Peloton helped, you know, increase his lifespan. He might have been dead long before our bike.
Peloton's statement says, while 25% of heart attacks each year are in patients who have already had one, like Mr. Big, even when they are very, very treatable, it's always important to talk to your doctor, get tested. The good news is Peloton helps you track your heart rate while you ride, so you can do it safely. So, okay.
Like any exercise. I mean, that's the thing. He could have been at any gym. Gold's Gym, Planet Fitness. He could have been at any gym and done the same thing, and it would have done the same thing to their stock prices.
Yeah, but there would have been people
around. You wouldn't have been at
home by yourself. Exactly. Oh, did I just crap on your whole idea of why this is a thing?
Also, he was Mr. Big. He was, you know, successful New York businessman who bought and traded, I think, properties. And so, of course, he has a Peloton during the pandemic in New York City. They have a gym in their house. And because Carrie wasn't home and he has the heart attack in the shower and that's where she finds him. And I wept like that somebody had cut off my foot.
Yeah.
I called a friend. I was on the phone for 3 hours with friends of mine last night. Just crying and screaming. And the rage was real. Yeah.
Wow. First of all, I've never seen an episode of Sex and the City.
I haven't either.
Not a single one.
I knew
that there was a character called Mr. Big, and he was supposed to be with one of the women. I think the main one. I'm not sure. And that's all I knew. And so everyone's like, I can't believe Mr. Big died. And I was like, which one? The whole band? Oh, my gosh. That's terrible.
Eric Martin is still with us.
This is just awful. Heaven got a whole new group of angels tonight.
Nobody gets
that
joke.
Are you trying to kill off Billy Sheehan? What is wrong with you?
I'm just saying, y'all are all talking about Mr. Big dying. And there was a full, I really thought it was the band. I thought there was like a car crash.
Oh, you did for a while, huh?
I did for about 10 minutes.
It was a super group. From the 80s and early 90s.
Yes. Eric Martin, Billy Sheehan, and others.
Yeah. And other okay, first of all, you didn't know all their names, but she knew any of their names, which was impressive.
Because I bought their first tape that included the hit Addicted to That Rush. Yeah, you didn't know that either.
Didn't know that one.
That was a hit?
Yeah, huge on MTV.
I'm the one who wants
I hate that song with the white
be with you.
Be with you.
Deep inside my heart.
I'm so sorry you died, Mr. Big. If I was that band, if they don't make a statement today saying they're alive and well and all rumors to the contrary are false, they missed an opportunity.
Yeah. Do they have a Twitter? Do they know what Twitter is? They're like 70, right?
Mr. Big Twitter. I don't think they're that old.
Carson popped
they're not
a lot
that old. I mean, like.
Oh, my gosh. So
somebody
great.
Just sent me a text and said your Mike Nesmith might sell today. I have a Mike Nesmith shirt up for sale on eBay. I'm sure the vultures will come in and try to grab it.
Well, welcome the vultures. I mean, because you can get some money. Because that's what? Is that like a duplicate of one you already have?
It's just that I'm too fat for it. So I was like, I'm never going to fit into this thing. I appreciate
props
it.
Props to you for not doing what I do and just having sections in the closet where you have the fat section, the skinny section.
I have a box of clothes in every size from a 34 waist or medium up to fatter than I am now. So anywhere on the spectrum, I can find clothes to work.
Yeah, you don't have to go shopping. That's why I don't throw that away.
Mr. Big Music is the Twitter and no tweet today. Shame on you, Mr. Big.
I mean,
shame on you.
Who's running that account, though? Honestly, I love them, but who's looking
following
for Mr.
that
Big?
Account?
That's a better question.
27,000 people follow Mr. Big, the band.
That's pretty great. They were a great band. I guess I only knew that one song, the "To Be With You" song.
And what else did they have? They had
"Addicted to That Rush." I love that
I'm
song
tweeting
so
right
much.
Now. So sad to
Addicted
hear
to
about the passing
about
of the band.
The death.
Hi there. I'm upping my price of my Mike Nesmith shirt.
Yeah, you are.
What's it up to? What are you going to put it up to?
$38.
Started at 38. What was it at?
25.
Oh, yeah. You'll easily get that today.
Well, people did that when I had Joe Diffie shirts up. They came in and swooped them. So, and again, I only had the Joe Diffie shirt up for sale because I couldn't fit in it.
So 38 for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know what? You're going to come in.
Again, that's really sad because now you're down to one.
Yep. Mickey's still kicking. So he tours. I'll go see him.
Is he going to be on tour like as the monkey?
That's an excellent question. They might have changed the logo if he did.
That would be a great tour. Just tour as the monkey. That'd be awesome.
Like he should. It sounds terrible, and I didn't mean it as a joke. Carson's making all these terrible faces.
It's a pretty good joke.
I didn't mean it as a joke, but it is kind of like it would be great marketing, absolutely. And he's the one. It would be like once we were down to one Beatle, you have a Beatle reunion, and it's the one Beatle.
Yeah.
So which one are you killing off?
Of the Beatles?
Yeah, you killing Ringo or Paul?
Paul.
Whoa!
That is a bold claim.
What?
Wow.
I like
over
Ringo.
Here killing off Paul McCartney.
Right.
I'm partial to the drummer.
Wow. Whoa.
I love Ringo.
Huge.
He was a toque. When I was a little kid, that was the first time my mom let me watch a show where they said the S word.
Oh.
Doo-doo. Caca. No?
Remember when he did the video... They said he's not going to do
sign anything.
Peace and love.
Wait, what was that all about?
So here's my tweet. So sad to hear about the death of Mr. Big.
I'll send it to you.
We are all big fans. Big D and I have used To Be With You as an earworm attack for over a decade. I hope their families find peace.
Did you hashtag Mr. Big?
Hashtag Mr. Big. Do I need to?
Yeah, because that way Sex and the City people will
hashtag
see it.
Mr. Big. Okay.
Yeah.
And do hashtag SATC, right?
Yeah.
S-A-T.
And what's the other? What's the name of the show now? The Just.
And Just Like That.
Hashtag A-J-L-T.
No, I'm just
Yeah, dude.
Mr.
Nobody
Big.
Cares. It's still a clever joke. And
it's a great joke.
All right.
Also, some chick had to reply on Twitter to the tweet about Mike Nesmith dying. She's like, oh, my God, and this is so sad because it's on the anniversary of the day Davy Jones died.
Is it on the day?
No, because she's an idiot. No, he died on February 29th, 2012.
Yes, who doesn't know that?
I mean, the point is I do, but ma'am, she could have Google searched it.
Yeah, no, it's...
Yeah, I was like, what do you... Ma'am, can we get grandma off Twitter? Like, she's just out here spreading lies.
So, I sent you the video, Bella.
Oh, okay.
If you wanted to see it.
Yeah, I want to see it. What is this again? It's
Ringo Starr saying that he's not going to be signing autographs anymore. Peace and love. Peace and love.
This is a serious message to everybody watching my update right now. Peace and love. Peace and love. I want to tell you, please, after the 20th of October, do not send fan mail to any address that you have. Nothing will be signed after the 20th of October. If that has a date on the envelope, it's going to be tossed. I'm warning you with peace and love, but I have too much to do. So no more fan mail. Thank you, thank you. And no objects to be signed. Nothing. Anyway, peace and love, peace and love.
He's such a baller, man. Yeah, absolutely. I'd let Paul McCartney go to keep that guy around.
Peace and love.
I'm so busy. I have so much. I mean, I am Ringo freaking Starr.
I can't believe you haven't seen that before.
No.
So good.
No. So good. Peace and love. This is a warning with peace and love.
That's my favorite one. This is a warning with peace and love.
We need to do that like right now with China and the Taiwan thing. We just need to send out a warning with peace and love.
Biden comes out. This is a warning with peace and love. Peace and love.
Oh, Lord. Peloton should get after the And Just Like That thing. And just be like, peace and love, peace and love. Maybe not.
I meant to tell you the other day, I was getting gas, and I was watching some guy who obviously didn't work at the gas station, was going around to every pump and doing something, like putting like a code in or something.
Was he doing the little secret credit card skimmer things?
And I wasn't sure. I kind of thought so. Or I thought he was like just checking it. And... kind of go over there, and he comes over towards me. I go, hey, man, what's up? He goes, oh, hey, man, I was just going to put this on there. I'm putting them on all of them. And it was the little sticker of Biden saying, I did that with the gas prices.
I must have gone to the same gas station because I had that the other day.
They put them on every
I did that,
pump.
And it pointed to the price.
Yeah, I was like, wow, man,
People are very clever.
You gotta really be. Think about it. He had to order those.
Yeah, he paid. He's so politically involved that he said, "I'm going to spend my own personal money to bash Joe Biden at the pump."
Yeah, for a joke, and he's not. I mean, I was like,
"He's not going to be there to see the joke delivered."
No, it's just not. Anyway,
I don't know if there's anything I care that much about. I mean,
you know, Carson and I were talking the other day about what was it? Something like, "There's nothing like I can't imagine being so worked up that I would." I forget what it was now. But
oh, yeah. What were we talking about with that? Yeah.
There's like people who go and protest. And I was like, man, I don't mind. I don't care if you go to protest, but there's not anything. I can't think of anything that I would go downtown and make a sign.
We were talking about the Free Britney thing.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That people honestly took time out of their day to go to government buildings with hot pink poster board to say Free Britney. Come on, man.
It worked.
Did it, though? No, a documentary worked. I don't think the people...
I don't know. I think...
Power to the people.
It got attention, and it... I didn't know anything about it until I saw that. I saw people yelling, Free Britney. I was like, and I had to ask you, what is that all about? That was months ago.
Leave Britney alone!
Oh, so much. Just,
remember that, dude?
Is she out on her own now?
Yeah, the conservatorship ended, was officially... I don't know, disbanded? I don't know what the right word is, but...
So she can spend her money on whatever she wants.
She sure can.
Good for her.
So has it just been? Has her money just been sitting there...
Being spent by daddy?
Accruing? Is it invested, you know?
I have no idea where the money is, but I know there was concern about the way her conservator or guardianship was set up, that the father was being automatically paid, but so was the legal team. And then when she went to go contest the conservatorship, the way things were set up, it sounds like that she then had to pay the legal defense against her. So when she went to say, hey, I want this disbanded, that the money that she was effectively paying for the counsel that was opposing her.
But moving forward, she's in charge.
Yeah, she is.
So if she wanted to do like another Vegas thing or whatever, now it's her money.
Right, right.
And, well, you know, good for her. I mean.
We'll see. It's the other thing. We'll see.
Isn't she kind of whacked?
She is a little whacked.
I think she kind of is,
She's a little whacked. I mean, she is.
Yeah. So.
I saw the Instagram thing where she's like taking her clothes off. And,
right.
What?
Yeah.
Somebody send that to me. You sent me Ringo Starr.
Oh, but you're the one who sent that to me. You sent it to me.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, no. Sounds like what you do.
You know, something that we talked about on the show this week, which is fascinating, and I think it's super cool. Patrick just walked back into the room. The whole how artists get paid thing. Mm. I had so many people going, I never knew. I always assumed when I hear a person with a song on the radio, they're automatically rich. And that's not the case at all.
You've known better for years.
No, not me. I'm saying the people reaching out saying, I always assumed that, you know, if you hear a song on the radio, they're getting paid. Like, they're hooked up.
Not so much.
First of all, everything in this business is quarterly.
So yeah, so you're still 90 days away at best.
Song that's playing in January, you're not getting paid until, like, June. You know,
yeah.
It's just everything is like
so
that.
Like if you're like hot right now, let's say it's the beginning of boom, you just hit, it's a Christmas song. You have the new All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Absolutely.
I'm Bubba Carey. How long before I start seeing money from this?
You might get some money next summer. Seriously, there's no money in it right now.
Even though I'm all over the charts and I'm doing all the shows and countdowns and all that, I'm still.
That's why in Nashville, there are some banks that have music industry divisions so that they have somebody there who understands, look, yeah, I have no money, but I have, see this song? I wrote this song and I own 25% of the publishing and it's number three right now on the charts.
I'm going to have money in 6 months.
Exactly.
Can I please have this loan?
Exactly. And they'll do that. There's whole music business division set up to deal with the
unusual
structure.
So a regular bank wouldn't loan somebody money like that.
But they don't have a regular income. They don't have a job. Mm. You know, like it doesn't. It's not if you don't have a steady stream of income with a history of a steady stream of income, a bank's not going to lend you money. But a bank with a music industry division is going to look at your song on the chart and go, oh yeah, okay, I see it.
So that's kind of the same way that LA has the actors banks, the actors entertainment divisions, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, actors do get paid differently. Yes, they make residuals and they have some stuff that comes later, but
there's usually an upfront.
There's a lot more money up front. An artist might get money as what we hear about in advance, but songwriters don't usually get a big. If they do, they get a small one. They get a stipend from their publisher, some of them. But none of that translates until later.
And the advance thing is pretty cool. Like, there'll be a band you've never heard of that just got signed, and they might be making $100,000 per person in the band. And that's their salary, but it's really not. It's an advance that they have to basically pay back before they see another cent whatsoever in the future. It's kind of crazy.
A friend of mine grew up in Nashville, and she said that her art teacher in her elementary school was in the band Forerunner. They had the song Cain's Blood, which still, I love that song so much, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Cain's Blood is such a jam, right? And she said he was the art teacher while that song was huge and while the video was everywhere. And their kids going, okay, but how?
Why are you still teaching?
Because again, you think everybody just has, you think you have a song on the radio, you're rich. And whether, honestly, whether you're a kid or an adult, if you don't know the business, that would be my thought, right? Like, your song's on the radio. That guy's got to live in a mansion with Lamborghinis and trying to think of, like, fancy
with what?
Cars.
With
Lamborghini. Lamborghini.
I think she was about to say Lamborghini.
I was like, Lambos, Lamborghinis, I don't know.
Porcelain.
Yeah, so I think that so many people, if you're not right adjacent to it, you just think, oh, you're famous. You have money. Fame also equates money.
The concert ticket breakdown thing that Patrick was telling us about, I didn't know any of that. I thought the artist got at least 80% of the ticket sales because it's them that people are going to see, but that's not the case at all.
Well, then again, but again, they pay everything. See, when you're Luke Bryan, you're paying everyone. So
I'm the promoter. Here I am. Hi, I'm Bubba Promotions. Patrick is going to be my artist, and I'm going to pay $100,000 to.
The promoter is the one who pays me, yeah.
Right, so I'm going to pay you $100,000 to come here. Now, I get to say how much the tickets are? Or does the artist get to say how much the tickets are?
That it depends on. Every deal is different. Sometimes that you can dictate. Sometimes it's a guarantee plus a percentage if it goes over a certain amount. Sometimes it's just, you know, we're going to pay you $100,000 to show up, and we get to sell the tickets. Okay.
Okay.
But a lot of times with the big acts, with the big acts, with the Luke Bryans and stuff, yeah, they have promoters, but it's all built on a percentage, I think. And I don't know. I don't know how the details of all those deals work. I do know that if you get that $100,000, you give them $15,000 to your manager, $10,000 to your booking agent, and $5,000 to your business manager off the top.
Sorry.
So you're at $70,000. You got to show up and play this gig, but you got to pay everybody in the band, front of house sound, back of house sound. You got to pay
the artist pays all these people, everyone. Not the promoter, not the person with the venue.
Nope. You know what I would love to know is who gets the money from the surge ticket pricing. Because I was trying to buy concert tickets this morning, and the price jumped from $100 to $400 while I was watching it. And it's when you go
these
in,
aren't resale. These
no, this is Ticketmaster, and it tells you, hey, demand affects pricing, so you may see an increase or decrease. Fun fact: never saw it decrease, but you may see an increase.
It's not a very fun fact.
It's not fun for my wallet.
My guess is thinking that that's the promoter who gets that money. And Ticketmaster loves it because don't they get a percentage of the ticket?
Do you remember that big controversy about Metallica, though, about the doing the resale tickets? They were taking tickets, you know, or the promoter was taking tickets and reselling them at the higher price after the concert was sold out.
Yep.
But the band was getting a percentage of that money, supposedly, allegedly.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, supposedly. And that was the thing, supposedly.
Yeah.
And
make sure you got it right.
That's the thing that makes it kind of shady is.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a split between the promoter and the band, and then if you have surge pricing.
Surge pricing. And it's not even surge pricing. What they were doing back then was, they'd say there's 10,000 tickets, and they're $100 each. So they sell out, but they held back like 1,000 tickets. And then they would resell them in the secondary market for $200, $300, $400, $500, whatever they could get. And they were taking the money from the resale and splitting it up as well. So
double dipping.
Double dipping.
Yeah.
Right.
Which then you go the totally opposite end. is Eric Church, who, when he has seen bots and scalpers go in, he has just canceled every ticket.
Well, didn't Garth said, used to do in. That? Like, Garth he was like anti-scalper and all that, too?
Yeah. And he still kind of does that. You can list your tickets on StubHub, but they won't let you do it for some of them you can't do until 24 hours before the show, mm-hmm. that you can't transfer them over. So
it makes it hard for people to make a business out of it.
Yes.
So what is the Eric Church thing? He can cancel everybody's
ticket? He did this a number of years ago, but he had a tour and scalpers, and I guess it was probably when bots kind of first hit, mm-hmm. and all these tickets got bought up, and they went in and somehow figured out on the back end that these were not going to real fans. They saw who had been buying them up, and he went in and just did a mass cancellation and said, nope, we're going to redo this. And I think that was, I mean, that's a really big stance to take and a really good one. And I'm sure there were some people who had gotten great tickets, but it sounds like the majority of the people got shut out entirely. So he really super served his fans.
Wow.
What a guy.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, yes. My favorite. Can we just run down some of these?
Okay.
Oh, you want to go through some of the OKs?
Yeah, like the OKs are my favorite goals.
Okay, and the goals. Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
She's great.
That's a good one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
No, that's a great one, man.
She's my favorite.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Okay.
That was a telemarketer. Or that was a robot call.
A robot call.
Mm-hmm. And like when you would say something, it would.
Okay.
They're so much better than they used to be.
Okay.
Okay.
This is our last podcast of the
okay.
year.
Okay.
Oh. Okay. That was a caller.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to, like, I don't know.
Should have been better.
Celebrate. How are we celebrating? What are we celebrating?
We're going to celebrate.
Celebrate.
Celebrate, see? So bring it on down.
This is what our armed services do to the.
You mean armed services?
Celebrate them?
We celebrate them.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
I had a little cheesy.
You like a lot of cheese.
Wow.
What's your favorite cheese, Patrick?
Oh, that's a hard choice. I do like a lot of cheese. I like Monterey Jack. And, you know, the problem is nowadays it's hard to get Monterey Jack by itself.
Pepper mm-hmm. Jack is
everybody
the thing.
Wants to make Pepper Jack yeah. or they want to make Colby Jack.
Colby Jack.
What's the difference of Pepper Jack and
peppers?
Pepper Jack has
extra peppers in it.
Regular old-fashioned Monterey Jack cheese, man. That's legit. That's good stuff.
Oh, Monterey Jack. Okay, yeah.
And now it's Colby Jack. Because they want them. Because yeah, they had a lot of extra. Because nobody was buying Colby cheese.
I actually like
why.
Colby cheese too. I like Munster. I like Gouda. I really, really, really like Munster. Like, I don't know why.
Shocking
I just been...
that we all have so many favorite cheeses. It's really
the fact that I can actually like. Yes, I 100% have a favorite cheese.
You
that
say
I can
the
just
word.
Rattle off, right?
You say the word, and you can taste it. Mm. If I say Swiss cheese.
Yeah,
you know,
man. You
and I
brain.
Love Swiss cheese. Plus, you could hold it up to your face and look through it. And
what is that kind of Monterey Jack? That's Monterey Jack cheese that you buy from Sam's.
Oh, from Sam's Club, the Jack Snack.
Jack Snack.
Yeah, it's better than
are they the creamy
ones.
It's better than the baby. Than the
yeah, it looks
baby
like
bell
a baby
cheese.
Bell, but it's better.
Are those the ones in the little circle with the,
yeah,
with
yeah.
the wax?
The
oh, it doesn't have
to peel
the stupid wax on it either.
On the Jack Snacks.
Nothing
it's just
beats.
Just a little plastic thing, you just peel it open. Mm.
Big D knows where I'm about to go with this. Nothing beats straight off the farm cheese curds mm-hmm. from Wisconsin. You can get them from anywhere, but they're not the same.
It's not.
Nothing beats that. When you chew it, they squeak. Mm-hmm. It's the most incredible
yeah.
tasting cheese. I would get 2 pounds of that stuff
yep.
and eat all 2 pounds, just drive it across town.
Yeah, we got drunk on them one time.
I did.
No, I'm serious. We actually I got did. Intoxicated.
The
we
alcohol content so is way up. It's like,
really?
Like what? It's like 2%.
No. Okay.
Yeah. So I ate
no
2 pounds of
you
it.
You guys are so stupid.
Really?
Dude, there
I said
is?
No.
Okay, well, huh? I am extremely what? Gullible. So.
I love bourbon
Thank
and whiskey.
Thank you for
cheese.
My exploitations. It's fine.
So actually, you know, bananas have alcohol in them. A lot of people don't realize
I'm not believing anything
that.
You say.
No, a banana has 0.05 or 0.5
yeah.
percent
you,
alcohol.
It does. Look
I
it
am
up.
Duck going this right now.
We're not
now.
Messing with you. We don't mess around with you. We don't want to mess around with Carson. She's
content.
She's from Connecticut.
I'm
can't
in
get
mourning.
Anything by her. She's so smart.
In a
what was your grade in school?
So smart, right? Yeah.
What were your grades in school?
Solid B.
Okay. So
I was in the yeah exactly. And I was in the talented and gifted program in elementary
school. You were.
School.
I was too.
Yeah.
Look what happened to me.
Did somebody ask if it's safe for children?
What'd you do, Stu, man? Oh, you got some Patrick Punch.
Oh, no, that's cheese.
Sugar-free Red Bull.
Oh, man. Yeah, a banana, a very ripe banana, is 0.2 grams per. So it's about 2% ABV.
Bug, 0.2 grams per what?
Well, yeah, I'm saying for a banana, banana, a ripe banana, is 0.2% ABV and up to 0.4.
Does it say that?
Yes, right here.
Okay.
The unexpected alcohol,
alcohol by volume, which is
basically
the difference between 2% and 0.2%.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I'm sorry. I'm talking because I'm clicking buttons and I'm very distracted.
You ever seen a drunk monkey?
Right here.
I have seen drunk monkeys.
Right here.
I have.
Food that contains alcohols. Burger rolls. 1.28%.
What's a burger roll?
Like a burger bun?
A hamburger bun? Why wouldn't they just call it a hamburger bun?
I don't know. Rye bread, 0.18. Banana ripe, 0.2.
Oh, I don't already like this site because they spell yogurt funny.
Well, it's probably British.
They put an H in it.
Nope.
Who puts an
no,
H in
British people don't even spell yogurt.
It's yogurt.
Yogurt.
Yeah, I don't know who spells it that way,
cherry,
but I don't trust this
cherry
site.
Yogurt is 0.2.
You got to put extra letters in
yogurt. Or, I'm sorry, 0.02. A ripe pear.
Ye old yogurt shop.
So think about this. An O'Doul's has the same alcohol as a very ripe banana with some dark bits on it.
All right.
Who knew?
You can get not drunk off of bananas.
Actually, Bubba, next year is your year.
Why is that?
One of the big food trends is non-alcoholic beverages.
I love non-alcoholic.
They said that it's going to be such a moment for 2022.
So I drink a lot of that stuff because when I'm wanting to run calls for the fire department, it's a
great... Wait, are you a firefighter?
What's the time frame? Is it 8?
8 hours, bottle to throttle. Oh. Like same thing as pilots. It's the same rule.
I've
it's 8 hours.
Before.
Oh no, that's
bottle
a pilot thing.
Bottle to throttle.
Bottle to throttle.
8 hours, bottle to throttle. You cannot touch the throttle unless 8 hours has passed. So it's the same thing. But I drink, and I'll tell you which one is so good. I just found it. It's been out for a while, but I just discovered it myself. The Sam Adams IPA. It's called Just the Haze. If you like a hazy IPA, which is like a fruity IPA, it's fantastic. It's by far, you think you're sitting there drinking a beer. I'll tell you my faves. I like that one. I like the O'Doul's Amber because that kind of tastes like an amber beer. It's not bad. It's a little light, but still good. But that Sam Adams, the IPA, if you're into IPAs, definitely worth looking into. And there's another one. It's not Beck's. It's some weird one, but it tastes like a Peroni.
It's fascinating to me that people drink alcohol for the taste. That like somebody like you would like non-alcoholic because you like the taste that much.
I love, especially on a hot day, I love having a beer. I just do. Mm-hmm. I've always been that way. I've never had, and this is the interesting thing, I've never been one. I mean, I don't drink to get drunk. I don't. Big D, how often have you seen me in forever of knowing me, 20-something years, how often have you seen me actually drunk?
Mm-hmm. Hundreds of times.
No, really, though.
I mean, that morning you passed out on the board.
No, that was one time.
That was just from, that might have been. I don't know.
I'll have a beer or I'll have a wine or whatever. I just don't drink to get drunk. I actually enjoy the taste of alcohol. And it's a way to enjoy that taste and still be able to, function when I need to function.
Are there any caloric benefits to drinking non-alcoholic
beer?
Yeah.
There's that Budweiser. I think it's Bud Zero. Is like
Patrick
50,
says no.
No.
No. The Bud Zero is like 50 calories. And that's actually not a bad. It tastes like a light beer. That one is 50 calories. I mean, that's pretty great.
Water. Zero calories.
Yep. But water tastes
also,
like water.
Non-alcoholic.
Water tastes like water. If you want to enjoy the beer flavor.
What? I never understood people who drink beer for the flavor.
And
that non-alcoholic beer. So
I'm on
get
that
my
team. I'm
fixed.
On that side of it that I can't. Oh,
okay, let's say you're a pregnant lady and your doctor says you can't and you just really want a beer.
But that's the point that I'm saying. I don't understand the mentality of just really wanting the taste of beer.
Okay.
Because I don't.
Social drinkers.
It doesn't. Mm-hmm.
Let's put ourselves into a social situation. There's something about holding a can or a glass or whatever.
Say social.
Social drinkers. Social.
Thank you.
Social drinkers. There's something about holding a can or a, mm-hmm. or a glass of something. And can I stop now?
I hope you don't.
But there's something about, you know, you have something in your hand. It's almost like a focal point. And, you know, like I'm holding a candle right now, like I'm holding a drink. And it's mm-hmm. very comfortable.
You knew the same thing by just putting your hand down your pants.
But I'd have nothing to hold.
Oh, boy.
Hey, yo.
I went there before you did.
Hey, yo.
But, yeah, so for social situations, you can actually have a beer with everybody else.
I just get a Diet Coke in a glass. I'm at a bar.
I started looking for, what is it, the fake bourbon as well.
Oh, they make that?
Yeah, and it was kind of a fail.
Oh, I want Patrick to taste test that stuff.
Oh, he did. He did. Oh, okay. It tasted like...
stupid.
Yeah, they haven't gotten there yet. But I think in time,
you're talking about how you've never seen Bubba drunk. You've never seen me drunk.
I've seen you drunk.
We've heard it. I mean, once or twice. We've seen you drunk often.
That morning we called you in Jamaica.
I was hungover, not drunk.
Oh.
You're still drunk. No, if you're hungover, you're actually still drunk usually.
Whack.
By the way, we saw you drunk in front of the colonel, the base commandant. Remember
that?
We pull up to the barracks. We're doing the USO tour, and Patrick's going to get out of the van, and the door opens up. It was a sliding door in like a little Mitsubishi van, and it's like not the ones we have here. They're smaller in Japan. And the door opens, and Patrick pops out like a can of biscuits. It's like poof. And he just rolls out and flops out on the ground and scratches his hand. Mm-hmm. And Teoko was her name? Keoko. Keoko was our interpreter.
Boy, I'm not even sure.
Oh, yeah. You got me, too.
Keoko was.
Wow.
It was.
Okay.
Dude, you know whenever I do it's right. So Keoko was like, "Oh, you got a little scratch. Oh, poor baby." She was making fun of Patrick, and he's like,
"I had a piece of the gravel of the whatever it's called stuck in my wrist for like several days." It
was
actually
adorable.
After we got back that I went, "Oh my God, that's a piece of the gravel."
He smuggled it in. No, it was great because imagine the most stereotypical accent of, somebody who would be a Japanese interpreter and her making fun of Patrick with a scratch. Oh, poor baby. I was dying.
It was pretty great.
It was so awesome. And like the colonel is just looking at Patrick flop onto the ground.
I was.
And he's like,
plastered.
But you guys have never seen me drunk.
I said not that often. It's not like I'm drunk in the studio, but no, I forgot about the USO tour. Man, you know who can drink and encourage other people to drink?
Marines.
Holy crap. I have never seen anything like that.
Did you ever drink anything out of the snake
I did not
bar
drink the
jar?
Snake. It's like I have a picture of it somewhere on my Instagram. It's like a alcohol with a freaking snake in it. And not like a little, like, no,
it's
like
a big
poisonous,
old full
big
old on,
snake.
Yeah, it's some, full it's length like, snake.
Yeah.
Just curled up at the bottom, just sitting
and
in it.
And with its mouth open, with its fangs exposed.
And it has some sort of, like, saying or something on the like, it's Marine Corps.
So they all,
something.
You know, it's like their thing. It's like, you know, they're going to drink the snake whiskey or whatever it is.
And that's supposed to be, like, make you more of a man.
There's little bits of snake
skin
that has broken off.
Oh, let me get it. Turn your, it's getting a glare is my point.
Getting a glare?
Yeah.
If you're watching
you're
on, the,
it up to a light.
On the,
oh, it has a glare on it.
YouTube.
On the
you'll
picture,
be able to see
so
it.
That might be what you're seeing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Good. Yeah, it's just a snake in this thing. And
ouch.
Snake.
It's just, and I wouldn't mind the alcohol part of it. It was the little bits of snake that was just floating around.
So
they give it, you know how like you get, somebody gives you a drink and you look at it and it's got little bits of stuff from the glass not being cleaned? It's like that, but on a whole different level.
Oof.
It's like if my kids
like
did
communion at Catholic Church.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I got that.
That's a good one.
That's, Yeah. Oh, and look, it's got the shot glass on a ladle attached to it. Yeah. So you can get in there and scoop your shot on it.
Really get deep in there.
Nope.
Apparently, what they would do is they would get drunk, and whoever got the drunkest, they would dare them to drink the snake liquor.
And you know, it was really just formaldehyde. They would just like give them formaldehyde, and they'd be like, here you go.
Yeesh.
You know, they... And told us that
it's sake actually is in the
The Marines would they drink on base because they couldn't go out drinking anymore because Marines going drinking
in the little
Japanese town. That's right outside of at the base of Mount Fuji, and I was like, wow, I bet that was a fun story. And CO was like, oh yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah, it was something else.
Good times.
So they get a drink. Gonna drink at home now.
I'll never forget that. I'll never forget stopping at the very first gas station or truck stop.
You have never seen truck stops like you see in Japan. Now you might say, "Oh no, well Buc-ee's." It's not the same.
No, it was the size of a Buc-ee's.
It was the size of a Buc-ee's, but not all the pumps. Yeah.
That's a good. It's actually pretty good.
Buc-ee's actually reminds me of like when you go inside. It reminds me of the Japanese thing, except. It's just different. Like the Japanese thing was set up as
Japanese.
No, like Buc-ee's is wide open.
Excellent point, Patrick.
Yeah, thank you.
No, but you know, Buc-ee's is wide open and it looks like a department store almost.
This place
was long.
It was almost like a mall.
Yeah, very mallish.
Everything is broken into little shops.
I just remember what I remember most, aside from the experience of the store, is Dee and I bought like 15 or 16 different things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Got back on the bus and it was like, all right, we bought two of all of these things so we could try the stuff we would and go, ooh. Okay, no, that has some kind of seaweed in it. No. And we try the next one and go, what is this? Yeah. I'm not sure. It's possum sausage. Yeah.
Dude, they had the most unbelievable beer selection there, too. Like, you go into the 7-Eleven and you walk into the beer. It would be, you know how like we have the cases?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the entire rim of the building being a case. And they had more beer with like crazy flavors. And you know, you want pineapple beer, you want jalapeno beer, you want habanero beer, you want this, you want. They had it all. Mm. And it was the kookiest thing. You had like eel flavored beer. I mean, you name the kookiest thing you could think of. And they had a flavor beer of that. And it was cool. And I also loved the fact that they didn't have garbage cans. Like, you know, you're out and you're having your beer and you're like, I got to throw this away. There's no garbage cans anywhere because people carried their own bags to clean up after themselves. Mm-hmm. God, that's a lesson we could learn in America.
So clean.
Clean up after yourself. You are responsible for you and your own mess.
Yep.
Personal responsibility.
Nobody's been personally responsible for anything in this country in 50 years.
And that is part of the problem. And I that was the one thing I was like, man, Japan is doing this one right. The fact that there's, and like there were signs, like there were garbage cans for like a business, but there were signs saying in English because Americans were the only ones who would go and do it. There were signs in English saying, don't basically do this or you will be assaulted. It is against the law to use our trash bins or whatever. It was crazy.
There was one of the trash cans that actually had a sign on it, and it was really funny. It was like, I can't remember exactly what it said, but it was basically like, hey, don't use our trash can. And that's all I got. That's good stuff.
Thank you.
All right.
Sounded
really good.
Let's go to Patrick.
I was hoping Bubba remembered it.
Dead ends, Patrick.
Man, Patrick makes everything awkward.
That's not true. It's only true sometimes.
All right. Let's go to Patrick with Fell Off the Cliff. Patrick. All right. Bubba, real quick before we wrap this up, I'm thinking about getting the HomePod Mini.
What is the HomePod?
It's a speaker made by Apple.
No.
Okay. You know what? No. I knew.
You're talking about like an Alexa? It's the Apple Alexa? Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know. I was hoping.
Is it a smart speaker?
It is a smart speaker.
Yeah, I don't want that.
But even if I don't, what if? So it says has Siri.
Yeah,
control, and you can control your smart home devices.
I don't want my smart home connected to anything. I don't want my home to be smart. I want my home to be stupid. I want my home to need manual adjustments, physical touch.
I found the picture on the trash can, but I can't say it.
Oh, it's so good.
I can't say it.
What did it say?
It says, no public trash, fine $100. No excuse. It's got a bad word.
It does.
Oh, in English. Awesome.
Can you show the picture?
I'm not showing the picture. Okay.
But it's pretty
great. I knew it was somewhere in my phone. These are also pictures of Bubba and I and the two comedians who went out and got drunk the next night. And Bubba was like,
I was
making friends with the guy. What was he?
I thought he was a ninja.
I did. How you know you're
drunk. I was so hammered.
An American.
He came
in a Japanese city. He goes up to this guy and goes, "Are you a ninja?"
Well, he came in. Now I'm schnockered at this point.
Oh yes.
And he came in and he had like a hood. He was all in black. Like he looked like an anime character. He was all in black with a hood and flowing hair. Oh, that's nice.
this is to the level of Bubba drunkness.
Oh.
So he's like in there, and I'm like, he's special. He's got to be something. He was either a ninja or a warlock. I'm going to find out. So I go straight to him. I'm like, dude, are you a ninja? And he didn't speak English. And
there's a blurry picture of the ninja.
He and I had a couple drinks at the bar. I'm like, I got his.
That's when he realized that he wasn't special, but you were.
I definitely was.
Wow.
I think the video died, by the way. For those
the feed?
Yeah. 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 Did you pull it up?
Yeah, it looks like it's done. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I got some kind of an error thing popped up.
Mm. Well, anyway.
Well, what a great way to finish the year. Yeah. Enjoy the rest of 2021. We'll see you next year.
Hey, Patrick,
folks.
What did the sign say?
What did the sign say? On the garbage can?
Okay.
It said okay.
All right. Have a great one. For those of you who are listening on, well, of course, if you're hearing this, you're not on YouTube because that's already broken. If you are listening, stick around a little bit longer because Jefferson White, he's the actor that plays Jimmy on Yellowstone. He's so cool. Like he's Jimmy, but he's like Jimmy with energy. Like, I didn't know. Like, he's like not Jimmy, but he's a great actor.
Imagine that. He's an actor.
I know.
He's different than on the show.
I only thought I loved Jimmy before. Now, after talking to Jefferson, I think he's one of the coolest people ever. So that is coming up right after this closing jingle.
I said that is a UFO.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Bye. See you next year.
Jefferson White.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, dude?
Time to talk to me.
Man, we are so excited.
Not much.
We are such big fans of the show.
Huge.
We've had Kevin in the studio a couple times, but you know, big whoop. John Dutton, a dime a dozen. There is only one Jimmy, and that's you, and you're on the show, and we're super stoked.
That is so kind of you to say. Thank you guys so much for your support. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
I was so concerned, and I'm going to say it. Spoiler alert. You're going to get spoiler alert. So first of all, Jimmy lives after the end of season 3. Jimmy lives because he's talking to us right now. But I was so worried that you were leaving the show. Like, I was concerned that you were going to be dead at the end of all that because of the way they found you in the ring. But then I was just concerned that whenever they shipped you off to Texas that you were basically being written off the show. But the fact that Mia's still a main thing kind of makes me think that we've got a lot more Jimmy on the way.
Yeah, imagine how I felt, you know. So I read the script for episode 310, the last episode of season 3. And my first question is, wait a second, do I still have a job, you know? Yellowstone has been the best job I've ever had in my life. And any time your character is lying face down in the dirt, motionless, that's a bad sign for your employment opportunity, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I've been very, very grateful as Jimmy manages to keep holding on and keep fighting.
What is it about Jimmy's character that you think people connect to? Because I know we're all drawn to him because we feel sorry for him because of his situation before the Duttons found him. But also, he seems so sad.
I think, you know, personally, part of what draws me to him and where I really relate to him is that he's a survivor and he's a fighter and he's trying so hard to learn, you know? I'm very new to this world myself. I had never touched a horse in my life before Yellowstone. So my journey and Jimmy's journey are really parallel in a lot of ways. We're both just trying to keep up. We're trying really hard to learn every chance we get. Yeah, so I think people in part respond to him because, you know, a lot of us mythologize the West. This is a world we've loved. There's a kind of American myth of the West. And a lot of us don't have any real experience with it. And that's very much been my experience and Jimmy's experience, too.
So a lot of people are really upset with Taylor. Taylor Sheridan is basically the brains behind the whole thing. And he was also the guy who brought Jimmy to Texas. And he was just, dude, it was hardcore. There were some mean moments there.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's so funny when your boss writes the scene where he makes fun of you on camera. You know? That really tells you how he feels about you. He can write anything he wants. And what he chose to write for himself was, making fun of Jimmy, which I think is very funny. You're writing. He's the writer of the show. He writes every episode. He could write himself to be the biggest, toughest badass. He could write himself to, you know, beat up Rip or, you know, marry Kelly Riley, do whatever he wants. And what he wanted to do was make fun of Jimmy, which I thought was very funny. I'm flattered.
Yeah, I really, you know, that was one of the things that kind of shook me is whenever I first saw him on screen, you know, he would make like the couple little pop-ins, but like that whole main thing was, why wouldn't he paint himself to be a nice guy? I mean, I guess you do need the heels. Everybody loves the bad guys too, but he just played it off and it made him unlikable.
Well, you know, the thing that Taylor really loves, and I think part of what brings such a level of authenticity to the show is Taylor grew up in West Texas and he loves horses. He loves cattle ranching. He loves cowboys. He loves this way of life. So he wrote himself his character, Travis, who's a horse trainer. You know, Taylor, like, horses are his passion. You know, he really is a real advocate for the Western world, for reining horses, cutting horses, rodeo. And so he wrote himself basically, you know, an opportunity to hang out with his friends, to get to ride some of the best horses in the world. That to me is very relatable. You know, it's like if you're a guy who loves fishing, you're going to write yourself, you know, write yourself a character who sits on a fishing boat all day.
Yeah, I need to do that. I need to do that now. Jefferson White is building a house in the background. That is Jimmy from Yellowstone.
Oh, is it loud over here?
Yeah, what are you doing?
The streets of Brooklyn, New York. I'm walking through the streets of Brooklyn, New York, where there's always a lot of construction going on.
Wow, for some reason, I can't see that. I can't see Jimmy, the character, walking through Brooklyn.
Just know that I'm out of place no matter where I go. That's the thing I've learned. I'm from a tiny town in Iowa. I moved to New York about 9 years ago. Now I spend most of my time out west in Texas and Montana. And the real thing is just that I never feel like I fit in no matter where I go.
There was an end. I forget which episode. It might have been one or maybe two. I don't know. But the end of the episode, whenever Jimmy was riding off on the 4-6's ranch and his hat blew off, I thought, oh, is that symbolism? Is that some kind of foreshadowing? Like, is that him leaving the ranch behind? Or is, you know, I didn't know what that was.
Boy, I wish I could tell you that was on purpose. So what that was that, you know, I've got Jimmy's duffel bag in one hand. I've got the horse's reins in the other hand. I start to feel my hat blowing off. And I don't know. I honestly didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I was supposed to drop my suitcase and grab my hat. So the hat flies off, and then I'm, you know, they left it in the edit. I think for them, it is a fun little image, you know?
Dude, I got to tell you, because
ranch baseball cap that he's worn for 4 years.
Yeah, and that's what made me think that was some kind of, I thought it was on purpose. Like, I'm like, they got wind machines, I can do that. Because you could see you as a person, not the character, turn a little bit. And you're like, do I go back and get my hat? Did I ruin the scene, I guess? Now knowing that it was an accident, it totally is cool. I don't know, man. It's like, I love when they leave little mess-ups in things because it makes the characters more real because those are real moments.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're always looking for. They're always looking for authenticity, you know? So it was an accident for me, but then it was obviously very intentional that they put it in the edit. And I think that a good editor, a good writer, a good director sees what really happens. You know, you write one thing, but then you see what really happens on the day, and that's what you use to give the show that feeling of authenticity, you know?
I want to point people towards your podcast because that's how we got you on the show, is to talk about that. And it's, you know, there are many people out there theorizing like I would, like, oh, his hat blew off. Maybe that's telling us this. You're the guy You're the guy doing the official Yellowstone podcast. It is hosted by you. You've got different actors and stars of the show on there. So we're going to get the real stuff, the real behind-the-scenes stuff. And we're going to get the real information. So if you're a super fan of Yellowstone like we are, it is the official Yellowstone podcast hosted by Jefferson White. Totally cool. And I added it. I followed it. And don't forget, give him good reviews, too, because that helps him get more episodes later in the future.
Oh, that's so kind of you. Thank you for saying that. You know, it's funny. I'm new to that whole world. You know, I'm new to the world of hosting a podcast. So I so appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today because I'm learning from you right now. You know, I'm learning from you about how to sort of structure a conversation, have it feel organic, but at the same time sort of get the big talking points in. So I so appreciate you taking the time to do this. And thank you for being a part of my journey and learning how to host this dang thing.
Oh, dude, if you really want to know how to do it, you have to check out the Big D and Bubba Weekly podcast. That will tell you everything you need to know about what not to do.
Absolutely. That's like watching Jimmy ride a horse. That'll teach you exactly what not to do.
Just hang on and pray. So speaking, let's go back to Jimmy here real quick. 4-6s. How long is this storyline going to go on? Do we have a resolution at the end of this season, or do you see it going into possibly next?
You know, I don't think you'll be surprised to hear that they don't tell me anything. I'm sort of the last person to find out about this stuff, which I don't think is too surprising. So I don't know. Anytime I try to guess what's going to happen, Taylor writes something better and more interesting and more shocking. You know, all I've really learned is that they're going to surprise me no matter what I expect.
Is Mia headed to Texas?
If I knew, I'd tell you.
Okay. That means that she is totally headed to Texas. All right. Jefferson White, check out his official Yellowstone podcast. Check out Yellowstone because it's the best show on TV. And, dude, it's an honor having you on the show. Thank you so much for giving us a couple minutes.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Jimmy, y'all. We just talked to Jimmy.